Good morning once again and welcome once again. We are continuing our study dealing with shining as lights in the midst of a dark world, and we are in the midst of dealing with a portion of this study where we are talking about how we are to be examples in every area of our lives, and we've examined a number of different areas. We've talked about various types of behaviors that we are engaged in, the way that we've manage the resources, the money that we have. We've spent some time dealing with social media. We've also been talking about various types of relationships. Last week, we talked about how we are to let our light shine within our neighborhoods. And today, we're going to look at just another area of influence. We're going to talk about how we are to let our light shine in the workplace, the jobs that we have. And next week, what I'm going to do, kind of dealing with this particular type of an area, is I'm going to deal with shining as lights when we're older. You know, as older, we're a more elderly congregation, and I recently came across a lesson. Actually, Joe Price shared it with me based on some questions I asked him, entitled, "How Shall the Old Secure Their Heart?" And so we're going to make some application on that next week about what can we older do, you know, to let our light shine within community. And we'll deal a little bit with that next week. And then I'm going to start wrapping up this particular study. I still have 3 more months. I'm going to take a month that we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with the family responsibilities. I'm going to talk about that next week or next month. The following month, we're going to look at just some moral issues, various moral issues, what the Bible says about those types of things and how we ought to conduct ourselves there. And then we're going to wrap it up in December, talking about just some principles to apply as we let our light shine in all those areas. So that's my plans to get this study completed this year. That's the goal that I'm dealing with here. But let's go ahead and get started with today as we talk about being examples in the workplace and letting our light shine within the jobs that we have or the employment that we are engaged in. And as with every area of our lives, we find in God's Word there are instructions to regulate us in these particular areas. And I know in times past I presented some lessons about our responsibilities as workers, whether it be employers or employees, and we'll talk a little bit about that in this lesson. But we also want to talk about using the workplace as an opportunity to let your light shine, as that is what we are dealing with this year. Now, I want to begin by just briefly pointing out the fact that when we look at the Word of God, we are expected to work. God has more than one occasion, and you can look in both the Old and the New Testament, you can find that God has always expected us to be busy, to be doing things, and he's given responsibilities to various individuals within the household. Among those, the man of the household, he has a responsibility to provide for his family and to engage in work. You know, when you go back to Genesis chapter 2, even before the fall of man that is recorded in Genesis chapter 3, Adam was given responsibilities. In the garden, we find that he was given the responsibility to tend and to keep the garden. That means he had a job to do. Over in verse number 19, he's told to name all the animals. The animals are brought to him, and he named them for what they are. And then after the fall, as you read about there in verses 17 through 19 of Genesis chapter 3, one of the points is made there is you're going to toil. And of course, labor was made more difficult as a result of the fall of man, and there's a lot to be said about that. But the bottom line is you're going to work. And you're going to work throughout your lives until you die. And that's the point that is made there. But even in that, you find in the Old Testament that work was not necessarily something to be dreaded. You know, I know there's many people that they dread the idea of having to work and they'd just as soon not do anything. The Bible has things to say about that. But the truth is God gives us work for a good reason. And anyone who does their job and has a job and fulfills that has a sense of fulfillment about them. That's a good thing. As a matter of fact, Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes that we've been studying through on Sunday evenings for a while, you know, he's made the observation about the blessings of work. In Ecclesiastes 5 and in verse 12, he talks about how the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. You know that you haven't wasted your day, you have accomplished something, and you go to bed at night. Partially, maybe it has to do with you're exhausted because of the work you've done. But at the same time, you know you've been productive. You haven't been one who has been a drain on society. You've contributed to society, that type of a thing. In the book of Proverbs, over and over, Solomon deals with this. In Proverbs 14 and 23, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. In Proverbs 12 and in verse 14, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. That which you receive as a result of working, you will receive, is the point that is given in that particular text. So we can see God has always intended there to be work, and even under the old law, and Solomon with wisdom observing life. It's one of the observations that he has. Last couple of months we've talked about how there's a season for everything. One of the things that is said, that there's a time to work. You know, there's a time for labor. Now come to the New Testament. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, you know, Paul is pretty straightforward about this, and evidently the brethren at Thessalonica had a little bit of a problem with this, probably because of misunderstandings concerning the return of the Lord. But we read in verses 11 and 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul said, we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. In verse 11, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. Among the ways that you walk properly toward those who are outside, those that are not Christians, is by minding your own business and by working. Working with your own hands. Go over to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3, and we find here in verses 10 through 12 that Paul says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness, and eat their own bread." So you've got the idea there of you need to work. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Maybe that's something we ought to think about as a society. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 28. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 28, Paul tells these brethren, he says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." You know, be busy. Be busy and working. If you're blessed with abundance, share with others. And consider that a blessing, that you have the ability to share with others. Because there are those who are genuinely needy. There are those who are struggling, and over and over the Bible challenges us to be benevolent and caring with others. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse number 8, Paul makes this statement here. He says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." I always find that to be a powerful statement where Paul says, the man who won't provide for his own family, he's worse than somebody who doesn't even know God. That's a powerful statement. So we find over and over in Scriptures there is the command to work. And we need to realize that if we are to let our light shine, and if we are applying the Word of God, then we need to think about this. And no, that doesn't mean it's wrong to be retired. That's not the point there. But the point is be productive. Now, Having said that, the Bible also gives responsibilities concerning those who are working. And there are responsibilities that we have where our jobs are concerned. And among those responsibilities we find, there are several passages of Scripture, and especially in the New Testament, you know, it's kind of interesting. There's some passages there that deal with the relationship of the slave and the master, or the servant and the master, and the responsibilities that a servant has to his master, and the responsibilities that a master has to his servants. And we can apply those things to the employer-employee relationship. And we need to apply them, and we find principles there that we would apply in that particular area. And that's one of the things that we will look at. And one of the observations I make when I talk about the responsibilities as employees have is in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse number 10, Solomon there says, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. Do it with the best of your ability." And he points out, because there's a time coming when you're going to the grave. But he's saying, whatever you do it with the best of your ability. That's the point that he is making in that particular text. In addition to that, you have passages such as Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to turn over here, because we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at this particular text as it deals with the employee, the one who has been hired to work. Paul gives several principles that are associated with. So you find Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. And again, this is in the context of bondservants and masters. But let's substitute the idea of bondservants for employees. He says there, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Now there are several things that are stated in this particular text. Number one, obey in all things. Obey, bondservants, obey your masters in all things. Let's say, employees, obey your employers in all things. In other words, you've been hired to do a job. Do your job. And not only are you to do your job, you are to do it to the best of your ability. He says, don't do it with eye service as man pleasers. And the idea of that is, you know, just doing enough to get by, or being superficial with what you do. You do your job the way you're supposed to, and you do it with the best of your ability and the best of your might. We hear so much today about we have a society of workers, and I realize that this is not all workers, but there are so many employers that are frustrated with the fact that they can't get their workers to actually work. You know, they want to do just enough to get by. I know someone who recently sold a chain of restaurants, and when asked, "Why'd you do it?" "Because nobody wants to work." You know, the frustration. And it's a fast food chain. And of course, the whole point is, you know, that's the entry level where teenagers were. And many of them, they want to go there, and they want to demand that you pay them a big salary, you know. They want to increase and keep increasing the minimum wage. But yet they don't want to give you that amount that they're asking for. They want to just do just enough to get by. And sometimes even less than that. That's just the entitlement attitude that we have around us. Friends, if you're a Christian, that's not the way you work. You go to your job, you do your job. And you do it to the best of your ability. And you do it when the boss isn't watching you. That's the idea of the not what I service, if you want to wonder what that's talking about. Because whether the boss is watching you or not, I want you to remember this. Somebody is. Somebody's always watching you. And it's somebody that is going to hold you accountable. He's the one that's telling you to work. He's the one that's telling you to do your job. And he goes on and we read there in the text as we continue to read there, he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. In other words, you're doing your job properly. You're doing it, as we'll also see in a minute, with a proper attitude. And you're accomplishing something. You're accomplishing what is expected of you. And you treat your employer the way that you treat the Lord. The way that you do that which the Lord expects you to do. How does the Lord feel about those who offer half-hearted service to Him? How often have we emphasized the importance that being a Christian is a life of doing? And it's to doing it with the absolute best of your ability. It's doing it with seeking first the kingdom of God. Oh, in your job. Do it heartily. Do it with the best of your ability. Do your job and excel. Be the one that the boss takes notice of. Now, I realize that sometimes employers who want to goof off and want to do as little as possible, they may get upset with you because you're making them look bad by doing your job. And that's what's pathetic in our society, is you're just simply doing your job and you make others look bad and they get angry at you. I'm going to tell you right now, as a Christian, oh well, you do your job. You've been employed. You've been hired by somebody to do the job. Do it the way that they tell you to do it. And just with a proper attitude. And we can continue talking about that. There's numerous attitudes that are dealt with in Scripture. Be content. You know, over in Luke 3 and verse 14, this is where John is baptizing individuals and various individuals are coming to him. What do we need to do? Soldiers come to him and he says, be content with your wages. You know, among other things. You be satisfied with what you have. Now understand, we live in a society where generally, if you're not satisfied with your wages, you can go find another job. And I'm not being flippant when I say that. I know there's challenges associated, and there's times where you're where you're at because that's all you can do right now. But we do live in a society where another opportunity may come along a little later on that's better. And you can advance yourself in that. But as long as you're in the job and you're being paid what you're supposed to be paid, what you've been promised, be content. Just do the best you can. And oftentimes, I actually say most of the time, that is rewarded. That's recognized. Yes, there's exceptions. But that's right. So be content. How often are we told in Scriptures, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. And he goes on into a little bit of a discourse about money. And the love of money. And those who desire to be rich. And the trap that they fall into. Be content. In addition to that, be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Be thankful that you have that job. Chances are there's somebody out there that wants it. And there's many places in the world where they can't get the job at all. Maybe it's not the best job in the world, but it is a job. And it's there until something better comes along. Be thankful that you've got something. That's just about attitude, being thankful wherever we are and in whatever we have. Next, be honest. Be honest. In Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Excuse me, we read in this text. It says there, I'm wrong one again. We read there, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Notice how he says they're not pilfering. You know what pilfering is? It's what we would define as the little stealing. You know, stealing the little things. Maybe wasting your time, stealing time from the employer or something along that line, or just taking a little. No, it's no big deal. He won't miss this. You know, we're not talking embezzlement here. And people think that, though, you know, that's okay as long as I don't do the big stuff. We talked about that in our class this morning, you know, those types of attitudes and so on. We need to be honest. As employees, we need to be honest with our employers in all that we do. And of course, that's a principle not just because we're an employee, right? That's a principle because we're what? We're Christians. Period. In every area of your life, be honest. Be pleasant. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul there talks about, as he describes attitudes, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, don't be bitter. You know, don't be somebody that nobody wants to be around. You know, be somebody while at work that people want to be around you and want to engage in conversations. We're going to find a benefit to that in a few minutes as we continue in this lesson. But that's the point. You know, be of as pleasant of a disposition as you can. Be the friendly one. Be the one that is kind. You know, if you're dealing with the public, you know, let the public be pleased that you're there. And you know, when they go home and they rate you on social media, you know, they give you the 5 instead of the 1, you know, on the rankings of 5 to 1, 5 being best. You know, we had a good experience because this is an employee that was exceptional. They smiled. You know, and they were kind. And they showed me that I'm glad I'm here. Be a good employee like that. Have a pleasant disposition about you. And of course, be fair with all. If there's any one verse that covers everything, you think, well, all these specifics are mentioned, but if I left something out, here's a verse for you. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 12, Matthew chapter 7 and in verse number 12, Jesus there said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know what we call that? We call that the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's the mantra we need to live by in every relationship, and that includes as an employee. What about employers? What about those who hire people? And it's interesting that the Bible, it regulates employers as well, and oftentimes in the same context. You notice how all those passages that talk about bond servants, the very next phrase that deals with masters, and it gives them instructions. And it tells them that, you know what, you can't be harsh to your employees. You need to treat those who are under you good. You need to be a good employer. You need to care about those who work for you. We need to be, if you're an employer, you need to be compassionate. You need to treat those who are working for you with dignity. You know, don't treat them like they're a piece of property. You know, treat them like they're an asset to you and like they have a soul and they're valuable and treat them like you need them. Because I'm telling you right now, employers need their employees. And the good ones recognize that. And they will act accordingly. Among the things that is emphasized over and over is the fact that employers are called upon to give fair wages. You know, fair wages. And pay them what you promise them. Over in Luke chapter 10 and verse 7, among the things Jesus says there, he says, the laborer is worthy of his hire. And that's a principle that is taught throughout. And when you talk about that expression, it talks about the laborer does what he's supposed to do. You know what we talked about a few moments ago? He's worthy. But isn't it also reminding the employer that the laborer is worthy of his hire? If he's worked for you and he's done something to help you, treat him as if he's for what he's worth. Give him what he's worth. And that's the point. Now, of course, no, a whole other question when the one doesn't do their job, but that's a whole other point. But the point is employers need to appreciate their employees and they don't need to just take advantage of them. Are there employers out there who it's all about money and it's about them making their money and they take advantage of their employees? Yes. You want to know how you can tell those ones? Those are the ones that have the huge stack of W-2s. You know, in other words, a lot of turnover. Because people find a better job and go find an employer that cares about them. Well, the Bible says if you're an employer, you need to care about your employees. Over in James chapter 5 and in verse number 4. James chapter 5 and in verse number 4. This is a powerful statement that's made here. Where you read, it says, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached to the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That says God takes note when you take advantage of people and when you cheat them. And you don't give them what you owe them. That's a powerful statement that is made there. Same thing in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. Again, this is the passage leading up to what we talked about in Colossians chapter 3 with the bondservants or employees. Verse 4, chapter 4 and verse 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. You give them what is just. You treat them fairly. You treat them justly. You give them what they're worth. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse number 9, some describe this as a parallel passage to Colossians 3 and 4 verse 1. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse number 9, masters do the same thing to them. After talking about bondservants and their responsibilities, he said do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is heaven, and there's no partiality with it. Don't threaten them. You know, don't be the boss that's a bully. Again, don't be the boss that is hateful and cruel and harsh in the way you treat your employees. And so that they're afraid of you. Now I want you to understand, there's a difference between that and being firm. I'll stand up here and I'll tell you right now, an employer has the right to expect his employees to work for him and to do what they've been hired to do. And he has a right to be firm in expecting that. But that's different than being harsh and being a bully and being hateful. And again, I can give you personal stories of harsh employers. Okay, well, one of my wife's earliest jobs, she just quit it. She just didn't go in one day. And I don't blame her. She'll give you the details if you want it. But I mean, it's because the owner was hateful. That's the bottom line in the way that he treated them. We can't be that and be Christians. You know a good verse that actually applies to employers? I don't have to read it again, do I? Matthew 7 and verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So there we can see in the Bible the responsibilities of employers and employees. And realizing this, that as Paul is speaking to these employers or these masters, he says, you realize that you've got a boss in heaven that you're going to answer to one day. He's watching you to see how you're treating others. Treat them properly. So that's just a brief description of the responsibilities of employers and employees. Now let's get to the heart of the lesson. And this ain't going to take long. Isn't going to take long, you know, to deal with this. But we're talking about letting our lights shine in a dark world. Let's talk about using the workplace as an opportunity to let your light shine and to reach others. What are some things that you can give some consideration to? The first thing I want you to realize in dealing with this is workers can be a great source of prospects. They can be a great source of opportunity for maybe somebody that you have an opportunity to bring to Christ. So look at it that way. Remember we talked about last week when we were talking about neighbors? Who did Jesus say your neighbor is? You know, the Good Samaritan? Your neighbor's whoever you have opportunity to do good for. Let me ask you, can you do good for your fellow employees? Can you let your light shine and do good where they are concerned? And the answer is absolutely. Always, always remember the power of a godly example. Whether it's appreciated by your fellow workers or not, appreciate the importance of being a godly example and where that could lead you. That could give you opportunities with your fellow employees or maybe even your employer to bring them to Christ or give them opportunities. Think about this. What are some things that you can do in the workplace? Number one, show integrity. You know, be honest, be trustful or trustworthy. You know, be virtuous in the way that you deal with everything that you do in your job. And do it as if God is watching you, because He is. And you never know when the conversation will lead to, this is why I do what I do, the way that I do it. And that's where you open doors. It starts with example. Control your tongue. Watch what you say. And yes, there's gossip and there's profanity that you might think about, which is all over the place. But think about talking about your boss. Or talking about your employees and to other people when you shouldn't. Those kind of things. You know, insulting, being insulting and just being cruel, which is something else that goes around in society today. Bullying. Watch your language. Make sure that your language is the type of language that the Lord would be pleased with. Talk the way you would talk if the Lord were there in your presence. And incidentally, He is. Never forget that. Show how important the Lord is to you. You know, are your workers more important than brethren? And I'm going to tell you, this is one of those things to just kind of think about. Do they see that the Lord really is a priority in your life? If you have the option, will you choose assembling with your brethren over maybe, say, a little bit of overtime? Or if you have a choice between assembling with your brethren, or you know that's what you need to do, or a chance to go to the movies and hang out with your friends, your fellow workers after work, which do you choose? Do you show them that God is really important to you? You know, when you talk about all that integrity and things, the reason they need to know that's important is because God is important. And so you're going to put God and His ways first. And they need to see that. And they need to see it over and over. They need to see it in your example. They need to see that you're willing to sacrifice for God. And that implies not only to employers, but that implies to employees or employers as well as employees. You know, if you're an employer, there's really not a whole lot of excuse for missing. You choose, if you're an employer, you can typically choose your hours. If you have that option, what are you doing with it? Are you showing that God is your priority? That's how you let your light shine. Yeah, and if allowed, you know, here's some say, you know, if allowed, think about a Bible study during your lunch break. You know, I know of people in this congregation that they took a few weeks where at lunchtime, I guess once a week or so, they would say, let's have a Bible study. Anybody that's in there, let's just study a little bit of the Bible. Some places allow you to do that. If it's allowed, do it. Do little things like that. Talk about God. And here's the thing you can do. Invite your fellow employees to services. Invite them to a study at home. Or something after work hours. And I want to emphasize that. You know, give evidence that the Lord's important to you. If it's allowed, and I keep emphasizing that, if it's allowed, you know, put a Bible on your desk. Post scripture, those little sayings are all over the place now with scriptures from God's Word. Post those. Let people see that God is important to you. Maybe it will provoke them to ask you a question. You know, when you're in a conversation, if you have a chance to bring up something about God, bring it up. Those are kind of little things that we can do. As I said, seek opportunities for home studies as well. Now, in having said that, and as I begin to wrap this up, this is my final observation about this. And I found this in some of the resources. Don't let your spiritual zeal lead to cheating your employer. You know, and what that really means is, you know what, while I'm studying the Bible with somebody, so I can take time away from while I'm supposed to be working and let the employer pay me to study the Bible. No, If you're hired to do a job, do the job. This comes after that. That's the point. Now, you're still a Christian while you're doing your job, and you're still an example. But you give the time that belongs to Him to Him. And you worship God and you serve God as you ought to at all times. And that means doing your job the way that you're supposed to. So remember that as you think about this. And also, you know, I've made these points in this lesson here. It's sad that we're living in times where many employers, and this is especially true of governments now, not in every case, but, you know, government entities, public service entities, they won't allow you to mention God. They won't allow you to have a Bible because you may offend somebody. You can't do that. Well, you know what? You've got to do what you've been hired to do, and you've got to respect those rules. You know, I'm not crazy about civil disobedience. Matter of fact, I condemn it. You know, as far as that goes. So don't break the law, whether it's the laws of the land or whether it's the laws of your employer. Now, I realize the exception, but in most of these instances, it's a matter of preferences. When you're at work, just do the work that you've been hired to do. And that's the bottom line. But know your limits. What you are allowed to do, do what you're allowed to do. And we've given a few examples of that in this lesson. So that's just what I want you to think about when we talk about being examples in the workplace. And as we can see in this lesson, it's as important as everything else. We're blessed to be in a country where most of us can find gainful employment. And truthfully, compared to so many in the world, we have so much at our disposal. But do we praise God in those things? So I want us to think about that as we talk about shining as lights in the midst of a dark world. And I submit the lesson to you. Open your songbooks now here to number 594. Jesus will give you rest. We're talking about working. Oftentimes we look forward to that time of rest, you know, whether it be retirement or whatever it is. Well, ultimately we're living this life with the hope of an ultimate retirement. A rest in heaven with God for all of eternity. And Jesus offers that. Maybe there's someone here who is not in the Lord. And as such, should He return, you will not enjoy that rest. But you can take care of that if you will repent of your sins, confess Him, and be baptized. Or if as a child of God you have not been what God would have you to be, as always, we encourage you, repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. Moving forward, striving to be what God would have you to be. And if there's something that needs to be publicly acknowledged, or if you just need our prayers, we're here. So whatever your need is, come forward as we stand.